All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. Got one page this morning. Hopefully we can get out of here and by noon. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. There's a verse here. It's kind of stuck with me through the years for some reason. I've heard other men preach on it, and we're going to talk about it a little bit here this morning, and maybe it'll be a help to you. I hope so. You want to know? Do you want to do what God wants you to do? Do you want to know what God wants you to do? You want your life to just be wasted? Or do you want your life to count for something? I mean, it's your life, man. It's your life. You only got one. You got one shot at life. And when it's all said and done, and you know, we concentrate, we focus on our failures and our, you know, things that we miss and stuff like that, when really, hey, that's not how you ought to look at this. You ought to look at it as it's a war. And a war is many battles, and you win some and you lose some. But what you're aiming for is victory in the end. And that's what life, your life and my life, is going to count. It's going to be the sum of it all. When it's over, it's all what it all adds up to. Is it a plus or a minus? Did I do the will of God? Did I not do the will of God? You remember that little saying we talked about the other night? Somebody, somewhere, is depending on you doing what God has called you to do. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Now, if that's all it said, well, we could talk about that. But that's not all the verse says. He says, and there are many adversaries. I'm going to read another verse. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3. Colossians 4, verse 3. Withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. One more verse. Y'all know this one. I mean, you've heard this so many times. It's going to be very familiar. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're going to talk about being led by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs and the song the kids sang here. Thank you, Lord. And pray you'd bless your word. Thank you for these verses and many more that speak to us about this matter. Please help us now, Lord, as we try to explain, try to preach and exhort on this subject of being led by the Spirit and walking after the Spirit. I pray you'd help us to understand it right and then apply it in our life right. And that it would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, most people, I've said this to you before also, but most people discern the leading of the Holy Spirit simply by following the path of least resistance. It's the idea that if God wants me to go there, the door will be open and I can just walk through it. The path of least resistance, that's how most people figure the will of God. They really do. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people through the years, and they don't really seek to know and do God's will, and there's no other parameters about discerning it. I mean, if the door's open, you go through it. That's the will of God. I mean, you just follow the way that's open. Well, now you're going to get in a terrible mess doing that. You're going to end up in a hole somewhere, a trap. You're going to fall off the wagon in doing that. They look for open doors, the easiest way. I've heard that so much, you know. God will open the door. God will open the door. That is true. But just because there's an open door doesn't mean that God has opened that door for you. You've got lots of open doors around you. I mean, if we're going to go that route, you could go any direction at all in life. If the will of God is to be found by just going through whatever door you happen to be standing in front of that's open, man alive, do you realize what doors you're going to be going through like that? Just because the door's open don't mean it's God's will. That's the point. You can't find God's will by just going through open doors. And just because a door is open doesn't mean you're supposed to go through it. A great door and effectual is opened unto me. Then there are many adversaries. It's a spiritual thing when you realize that God has opened a door. He's given you an opportunity. That other verse I read, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, an opportunity. We talk about this a lot when we're talking about witnessing to people. You know, that's the way that I teach you and believe that it ought to be. I don't believe you ought to just force it. And I don't believe you ought to just go hitting everybody you meet on the street and every place you go and buttonholing them and trying to get them to be saved right on the spot. I don't believe you ought to do that. But I do believe that when God opens the door there and God gives you a voice of utterance, there's a big difference. I mean, I know the difference. I know what it's like to just force my way upon them and force them to listen to this. And I know what it's like when God just opens the way and it just flows. They're resisting when I'm doing it that other way. When God opens the door and gives me the door of utterance, they're listening and receiving. They're not resisting. Now, that's the way it is in witnessing. You know, I believe that's the way it is a lot of times. I also have had the experience where they're resisting fiercely, but it was God who gave me that voice of utterance. And later, it turned out to be proven, you know. I've seen people get saved after terrible confrontations with them. You know, I mean, boy, I've had some deals. And when it happened, I thought, man, you dummy, you should have just kept your mouth shut. You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have said that. But at the moment it happened, I could not stop. I couldn't help myself. And it wasn't anger, and it wasn't flesh. It was just, I don't know how to explain that to you. I mean, you just got to understand that that's the way it is. We're trying to discern here this morning the way to know the will of God. A lot of people just go through open doors, the easiest way. They look for the way that has no opposition. If there's any opposition, they say, well, God's not in this. Well, I sure am glad Paul wasn't that way, and Jesus wasn't that way, and Peter and all the rest of them wasn't that way, and all the missionaries weren't that way, and glad the people that had a part in leading me to the Lord weren't that way. Yeah, there's many adversaries. Much opposition. You're not going to enter the kingdom of God except through much tribulation. So I'm glad that I was born again, because some people faced the opposition and they didn't say, well, God ain't in this because he ain't interested. No. They imagine that God leads people in the way they should go by making it easiest and the most trouble-free path that they can take. You know, do you try to discern God's will that way, really? Do you just figure that the way God wants you to go will be the easiest way for you to go? I know that I'm saying it over and over, but I'm wanting you to get this morning. This is not true. That's not the picture we get when we look into the Word of God and we see how the faithful servants of God were led by the Spirit. They didn't determine the Spirit's leading by looking at the circumstances. The circumstances didn't have anything to do with it. Paul said, I would have you know, brethren, that the things which have fallen unto me the things that happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. He's in prison, in chains. He said, I just want y'all to know that I'm in the will of God. I didn't miss the will of God, because that's what everybody else would say. They'd say, well, you know, he just got all in the flesh and missed the will of God, and now he's in jail. Stupid Paul. You know, I mean, that's just how people are. If he'd just used some wisdom, he could have stayed with us and preached some more and done some more good. But how much good's he going to do in jail? Oh, he did a whole lot of good. Yes, he did. Circumstances are not our compass for finding the will of God. Don't pay no attention to circumstances. Hope you listen to that. They didn't determine the Spirit's leading by that. And their open door had nothing to do with the way of least resistance. I've often thought about Paul when they stoned him in Lystra, and he turned around and went right back in there. Now, how about that? Well, there was an open door. Now, most people say, oh, that door's closed, man. They done stoned me one time. Evidently, they don't want us there. Does that mean the door's closed? Does that mean God's closed the door? No, sir. Paul didn't look at circumstances and figure, well, that's going to be too hard. I just don't believe them people are ready. I just don't believe that God's prepared things for us to be able to go in there because it's going to be hard. No, he didn't do it that way. Their open door was always right where they were at the time. Not out yonder somewhere in the future. The open door is right now. When God opens the door, it's right where you are right now. We don't look over yonder and around the world at an open door. The open door is right in front of you. Open door is always right there. Here's a quote. Theodore Roosevelt said, do all you can with what you have where you are. There's you some good advice. Do all you can with what you have where you are. A lot of people won't do nothing because they think they don't have what they need to do it with. Do what you can with what you got, where you are, and we get a whole lot more done. It's amazing what people can accomplish just in earthly things with so little. You know, you can go out in the middle of the wilderness and you can find everything you need to build you a house. Now, if you're going to build a house here, no, you got to have a Menards and a Home Depot, and you got to have all this stuff you got to buy. No, you can build you a house, and you can live in it out of whatever's laying around. And people all over the world do it all the time, and they survive. Open doors are all around us, but we are not looking in that direction. We're looking over the top of everything that's around us. We're jumping up trying to look over everything that's around us for an open door, and it's all right there in front of us. The paths I've went down myself and the doors that I've walked through with the least opposition in my life have led to the worst disasters in my life. Yes, sir. Better listen to that. That's what I say to you. That's my testimony to you. The paths that I've went down and the doors I've went through that there was a lot of opposition have turned out to be the most rewarding and the most fruitful. But those doors that were easily went through turned out to be trouble on the other side. For they, you know, taking the path of least resistance is actually walking after the flesh. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 that we read. When you walk in the path of least resistance, you're really walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. And in verse 5 of Romans chapter 8, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So if you're just looking around you and say, well, now look, we can do that because it's going to be easy. Because look, we got this and this and this and this, everything's in place. We can do this. If it's easy, you're walking after the flesh. Having a great desire to do something or go somewhere is not the way to determine the leading of the Spirit. Y'all listening to me? Just having a desire to do it. When lots of people have become preachers, lots of people have become missionaries, a lot of people have done other things, have got married, have done other things in their life, just because, and had children, just because they desired to. And determined that it was the will of God because of this great desire that they had to do it. We were talking yesterday, me and Dad, and I told him about, you know, we were talking about that. I said, George, the difference in people's lives. And George Mueller was one of those. You know, we talked about his testimony a little bit. But George Mueller had a desire to be a missionary to China. He knew where he wanted to go. He had this great desire all of his life. And he just never could. Because the door, there was no door. Even though he had the desire, God never opened the door. Instead, he fed those orphans, thousands of orphan children, and took care of them. And besides feeding them daily, he sent thousands and thousands of dollars to the mission field in China to help them. I remember reading Hudson Taylor how that he was, about destitute and in a bad way. Because when he got to China and got off the boat, he got a letter and it said that they had quit the mission society that had sent him over there was borrowing money to send to him to support him. He resigned. He said, "I don't want no borrowed money." There he is in China, halfway around the world, 6 months for a letter to go to America, England, and 6 months to get back. No money. And he said, "No." But he got a letter one day, and it was a draft from Hudson, George Mueller, to help him in the mission field. So he had this desire, but no open door. Hudson Taylor had an open door and no money. It wasn't easy for either one of them. And it ain't never been easy for any child of God to do the will of God. Just having a desire doesn't mean that it's the will of God. Acts chapter 16 verse 7 shows us this. It says here that after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They wanted to go. They tried to go. But the Spirit of God said no. They didn't have a shipwreck. They weren't held up on the way. They weren't in jail. They weren't stopped providentially. They just knew the Spirit was leading them not to. The Spirit was not leading them there. Now, they could have forced it and went on anyway. You can go. The door's open. You can go if you want to. But if the Spirit's not leading you, you don't want to. The verse right before that one in Acts chapter 16 verse 6 says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia," I guess that's the way you say that. I need to listen to Alexander Scorby. He can tell you how to say these words. All right. But sometimes he messes up too. "And the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Did you hear that? They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel in Asia. Can you imagine God would do that? He did it. Yes, he did. He did it a lot. The Bible in the Old Testament says, he told one of the prophets, "Don't pray for these people. Don't pray to me for these people." God said that. The Spirit of God forbid them to preach the gospel and that to those people. Why? Well, it wasn't time yet. You think God knows what he's doing? Think God didn't have any compassion on them people? No, he knew the best way to do it and the best time to do it. And we get this desire and we get all worked up. And a lot of the meetings and stuff are designed to help us to get all worked up emotionally about it and create this desire to go, go, go. Years ago, we'd go to mission conferences and camp meetings and stuff, and boy, they put a lot of emphasis on missions and stuff. And I seen a lot of people surrender to go to the mission field and never did even go, or went and turned out to be a disaster. Because they got all worked up and got this desire, and you can have compassion and you can have a desire to help people, like the letter I told you about here before we started this morning at the church down there. It's right for us to have compassion on the people and to care for them and have a desire to help them. But don't trip up and think that a lot of people, I've seen people switch mission fields and they go to one meeting and get all excited about this country, and they go to another meeting and get all excited about that country, and they don't know where they're just looking for the path of least resistance. They're looking to go somewhere with the path of least resistance. And they think it's God calling them to a certain work just because they have this strong desire. And that's not the way it is. That's just what I'm trying to point out to you here. These men here in Acts 16:6, where the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, forbid them to preach the Word of God in Asia. These men desired to go into these places, but were forbidden of the Spirit. They were not hindered by circumstances, but forbidden by the Spirit. A great need's not the leading of the Spirit of God. Just because there's a great need, there's need everywhere. I mean, there's so much that needs to be changed. There's so many people that need to hear. There's so many people that need help in just the physical things of life. The world's full of poverty, and even in our own country, it's that way. There's people everywhere that need help. But the need doesn't constitute the call. There was a great need in Bithynia and Phrygia and Galatia, but it was not the time for them to go and preach the gospel there yet. We're not led, we're not to be led by our sympathy and our compassion. What are we supposed to be led by? What are we talking about? The Spirit of God. Supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. You're the child. If you're not led by the Spirit of God, according to the Bible, you're not a child of God. The success or failures of our endeavor is not evidence of the Spirit's leading. Now you hear me? Just because there's a need, just because you have a desire, just because it succeeded or failed, that doesn't prove whether it was of God or not. I know lots of preachers and people all through the years I've known them, and that's how they determine if God was in it or not, after the fact. If it succeeded, God was in it. If it failed, God wasn't in it. I can show you from the Bible real easily that that's foolishness to think like that. Acts chapter 16 again in verse 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. It was clear to Paul that the Spirit was leading him to go to Macedonia. So he went. And they built a great mega church, and the whole country got saved. That ain't what happened. No, that ain't what happened. He ended up locked up in jail, chained to a wall, with Silas, singing at midnight. That's what happened. The sorcerer and the people that sold the stuff, they got all mad because at him. And I mean, the whole place turned into an uproar against him. Well, if the Lord had let him there and that door was open, why'd it turn out like that? See how foolish that is. Macedonia turned out to be one of the better churches. The churches in Macedonia, which was a country. Philippi was one of the, I mean, not Philippi. Philip went down to, what was that city Philip went down to? Philippi, yeah. It was a city in Macedonia. And so, it was a country. They sent help, and they were poor, poor people. And they gathered up money and sent back to Jerusalem to help the churches there. I mean, it turned out to be a work of God. Yes, it did. But in the middle of the whole ordeal, it didn't look like it, but what mattered was Paul was led by the Spirit. And he knew when the Spirit was leading him to do something, circumstances didn't matter. Whether it succeeded or not didn't matter. It was the will of God. Never look back. This is something I learned a long time ago. Never question in the dark what you made, what you got in the light. Any decision you made when you knew God was speaking to your heart, don't doubt it when all the circumstances change and it looks like you was a fool. Keep what you got. Yes. Hold fast, that which you receive. Now, most Christians would immediately presume that he had missed the will of God because of the way things turned out down there. But he did not miss the will of God. God did a great work in Macedonia from that time. And y'all remember the story about the missionary went to Africa and he was there 5 years and then he left and come home, thought he failed. And he's lived the rest of his life here thinking he'd failed. And 100 years later, they found these churches in the jungle over there. And they had sprung up from the work that he did in that 5 years on their own without any missionary supervising them or anything. It wasn't a waste. I was reading Adoniram Judson this morning about how they went and what an ordeal they had, and his wife died and his children died, and they were in prison during the war and all of that, and it was 7 years with nobody saved. Nobody. He couldn't get a single soul to trust Christ in 7 years. And he stuck it out through all of that it cost. Why? Because he knew it was the will of God. He wasn't just looking for easy, open doors. And he didn't have to have success to prove that to himself or to anybody else. He just stayed faithful to what he knew God had led him to do. God don't lead everybody to go to a mission field. God don't lead everybody to be a preacher. And God don't lead everybody to do anything like everybody thinks. Man, but he does have a purpose for your life. He does have a will for your life. You need to find it. You need to seek to do the will of God. And not just try to breeze through life, you know, looking for success, fulfilling your desires, just trying to meet needs and thinking that's all there is to it. No, there's more to it than that. To be led of the Spirit, we got to realize that there's an enemy who's out to foil God's work and deceive people about the leading of the Spirit of God. That little saying we talked about a while ago, somebody somewhere is dependent on you doing the will of God or doing what God's called you to do. See, if that's really true, and it is true, then do you think the devil's going to sit idly by and do nothing while God makes known to each one of us his will and shows us which way to go? No, he's not. He's going to deceive. He's going to be at his, he's going to be at his work. And what is his work? Lying to us and deceiving us, trying to get us off of the track, trying to get us to spend our life doing something besides the will of God, trying to get us to believe in our mind that we are doing the will of God when we're not, or that it's something that we can't do or don't want to do. His method of temptation is always to present us with an easier and faster way to accomplish or obtain our desire. If you look at the temptation of Christ, Seth talked about it here a couple of weeks ago, for temptation of Christ. That's what the devil was really doing when he tempted Christ. I mean, you're suffering, man. You're hungry. Just turn these stones into bread. You don't have to be hungry. There's a quick way to fix this. I mean, you want the world to worship you? Every knee bow and every tongue confess? I can fix that for you right now. If you'll just bow down to me, you can have it right now. Right now. Easy. Without the cross. Without. Now, the devil's lying. But that's what he's tempting Christ with. The temptation's always a shortcut around the hard way. That's the way the devil tempts us. That's the way he tricks us. That's the way he gets us off track. That's why our desire should not be a factor in the leading, in discerning the leading of the Spirit in our life. What I want, what you desire so much, you better learn to lay that aside while you try to discern the will of God for your life. Because let me tell you something, a lot of times to do the will of God means that we must deny ourselves. For even Christ pleased not himself. Think about that for a minute. The Bible says that. You know, this modern Christianity is all about just a God who just gives us all our desires. And whatever we want, he's our means of getting what we want and being pleased about everything in our life. It's not that way at all. Life here is about pleasing God, not about pleasing us. He can go before you, opening doors for you, if that's the way you're willing to go. I'm talking about the devil can. He can go before you opening doors. He can open a door and say, here you go, right here. Open door. And look what all you can do just by going through that door. Ain't this wonderful that God has just made a way for you to do this so easily and quickly? Oh, ain't he blessing you? He'll make it easy for a young couple to go to the mission field so if he can destroy them after they get there. Well, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. He will make it easy for a man to become a famous and influential preacher if he can use him to confuse and mislead people about God. Satan is an angel of light. Therefore, it's no marvel if his ministers be transformed into the ministers of righteousness. The devil will open doors and make a way for a man to become an influential and well-known preacher. I've seen that happen over and over. If he can get him into a place where he can destroy people and hinder the work of God, he'll make it easy for him. See, it helps me to understand this. It helps me when I understand this. Because every once in a while I look around too. And I think, you know, here's a guy. He is not preaching the Bible. He is not telling the truth. And yet everything he touches turns to gold spiritually. I mean, as far as the ministry and all that, not spiritually speaking, but I mean as far as his ministry. It's just success, success. Just bigger, bigger. Money, money, money. All his heart can desire. Spends his life just flying here and flying there, enjoying everything, traveling and speaking. And he's a dirty, rotten rat. Yeah, you say, you're just so ugly. No, you need to brush up again one of them once more.
Yes, sir.
Smell the stink. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had them in my home stay with me. And the churches would fly them all over the country to speak in their church and everything. And they were a low-down adulterer and a liar, yes, and a thief. I'm not kidding. I've had them in my home and thought they was... It helps me to understand this. You know, people like that, without exception, everything went well for them. I mean, they just went and boy, everybody just got behind them. And that guy I'm talking about, that one guy, he was trying to raise $250,000 the year, I guess, a couple of years before he got uncovered. He had one man up in the northeast up there gave him $50,000 toward property in Mexico. $50,000 from one donor. And that's the kind of guy he was. He was a liar, a thief, and an adulterer. Now, what empowered? Did God open all those doors for him? No, sir. So it helps me. It helps me to realize, you know. Because every once in a while, the devil will come along and say, you ain't the will of God, just look at you. I mean, you can't get nothing. You can't never accomplish nothing. It don't look like you're doing any good at all. No matter what. If we look at the circumstances and discern the leading of the Spirit by the lack of obstacles and opposition, to the devil will be glad to oblige us. You know, if that's the way we want to discern the will of God, just by the circumstances and just by the opposition, the devil will be glad to oblige us. Because he's pretty much in control of things here in this world system. He can work it to help us be deceived in this way. All right, now, to be led by the Spirit, what does it mean? Well, here it is. I'm going to give you just a few little things and then we'll be done. But to be led by the Spirit, you have to know the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. My sheep hear my voice. They know his voice. He said, the voice of a stranger they will not hear. You got to know the voice of God. You got to know when God's speaking to you and when it's something else. When it's your own heart. When it's a devil. When it's just your desires. You need to know the voice of God. You need to be able to discern it. Now, when God speaks to you, how's he going to do it? An audible voice? No, that isn't the way God speaks to us. He doesn't do it that way. We read this morning, back in Isaiah, in the Old Testament now, Isaiah 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You're going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And I told her, you know, we don't need to take that as just ever specific, every day we're listening for the, go this way and go that way. You know, I've heard people talk about, you know, well, I was God said to me one night at 2 o'clock in the morning, woke me up and said, get in your car and drive. Well, where, Lord? Well, I'll show you where. He's telling it like this, you know. And so I got in my car and hey, which way do I go, right or left? The Lord said, right. No, 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 no. It's a bunch of foolishness. You just know the way to go because there's a voice. It's not a voice in your head like a devil. It's the Spirit of God. What's the Spirit of God like? The wind. It's something that you can't explain. Jesus said you just can't explain it. But you know. I mean, you don't know where the wind comes from. You don't know where it went, but you know the wind blew. And to try to explain to somebody else how you know that God wants you to do this, or that God is directing you to do this, leading you to do this, I don't know how to explain to somebody else how I know. I don't go by circumstances because I found out that don't work. I don't go by feelings because I found out that don't work either. Desire, emotion, you know, that does not suffice. When the real fiery trial comes, don't suffice. The emotions you felt when you had that call, that ain't enough. It don't get you through it. The only thing that'll get you through it is when you absolutely know God directed you this way. And how do you know? Well, you got to know His voice. You got to know, in order to know His voice, you got to know Him. You got to know God. And to know Him, you have to know His Word. You're not going to be able to find your way nowhere in the will of God if you don't know the Word of God. If you're one sitting here this morning, you never read your Bible and you don't even try, and all you ever hear is what you get is what you hear somebody else say, there ain't no way you're going to know the will of God in your life. You're far, far from even being able to know it all. To hear His voice, you got to know Him. To know Him, you got to know His Word. Because when the Spirit of God does speak to you, He speaks to you through the Word of God. Now that's right. That's the way you know. To know Him and to know and hear His voice, you must be submitted to Him. There can't be any rebellion in you. I mean, you got to surrender, submit to God before He's going to direct you anywhere. He's not fighting you like a wild horse that won't be tamed. You've got to submit before you'll ever know. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. I mean, that's how you're going to know. That's how you're going to understand about doctrine, about the will of God. Until you're willing to obey, He's not going to tell you anything. You're not going to waste time fooling with you when you want and telling you what to do when you are determined not to do it. To be led by the Spirit is to hear and heed the voice of God. You got to hear it, you got to know His voice, you got to hear His voice, and you got to obey His voice. In spite of the circumstances, whether they're favorable or not, you got to be willing to do what God wants. And you got to know God and hear His voice and listen for His voice in spite of the opposition or the support from other people. Other people, they just don't matter. If they back you, don't back you. If they support you, don't support you. If they oppose you, that's not a factor in you determining what God wants you to do. We do not hear audible voices. There's a spiritual realm, not the earthly. This here is a spiritual realm, not earthly. Don't mix them up. You can't be led of the Spirit until you stop trying to understand spiritual things with a carnal, earthly mind. The Bible there in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, divides it very clearly. And it does throughout the rest of the New Testament, talking about how you cannot walk after the flesh and be led by the Spirit. You cannot do that. You have to be one or the other. So as long as you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do and how you ought to live your life and what's pleasing to God, before you can figure that out, you know, you got to quit looking at earthly circumstances. You got to quit looking at earthly people and how they look at you and what they say to you and what they think of you. You got to quit thinking about how that it looks to everybody else, whether when you're succeeding or failing in anything you're doing for the Lord. All that's got to go out the window. Somebody named Don Green said he got a divorce from public opinion years ago. You got to get to that point. The Lord told Jeremiah, He said, be not afraid of their faces. Don't worry about what people say. He said, they're not going to listen to you, and they're not going to hear. But tell them this. Tell them anyway. Tell it. Say it to them. Thus saith the Lord. They ain't going to listen now. They're not going to respond. They're going to ignore you. But tell them anyway. Now, was the will of God for Jeremiah a success? Not at the time. Didn't look to me to be a success. What about Jesus' earthly ministry when he died on the cross? Did it look like he'd succeeded? He's dying. He's dead. It's over, apparently. And all of his disciples have fled and forsook him and fled. The multitudes are gone. All the multitudes are railing on him now. Did he succeed? Well, but the circumstances said no then. They all said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, come down from that cross. You know what they said? Prove it to us. Did he? Nope. No, he didn't come down. He didn't meet their demands. Really, it's just like wait and see. Just wait and see. It was a long thing. I've been preaching on the kingdom of God. It's more than just a little thing there. All right. Hear this. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. God leads us. He gives us peace in spite of the circumstances or the opposition. The kind of peace and assurance, it'll either endure a lifetime of what others consider failure because you know it's God's leading. You understand what I'm saying to you there? When you are doing the will of God and you didn't just take the path of least resistance, you're doing something because God's convinced you that it's what He wants you to do. You got peace. You got peace in your heart, in your life. You can live in peace. You're not troubled. You're not always searching. You're not always looking to greener pastures. You're not always a wanting out and dissatisfied and unhappy. That's not the way you are when you're in the will of God. Now, you may have troubles on every side. Within and without and all of that, like Paul talked about. But you know you're right where God wants you to be. And there's a peace that you get that just overrides all the rest of it. Kind of peace and assurance that'll remain in spite of the opposition and in spite of the obstacles. Just think of all the examples in the Bible that we can read about. Think of Joseph. And then think of these missionaries that we talked about. Judson and I talked about a while ago. And then there was a man named Greenfield. And he went up into Africa. And oh my, what a story. If you ever know, you ought to read some of them stories sometimes of what it was like, what those guys did. He was the one that wanted to build a ship and take it up a river into Africa. And it's just one long, long story of failure, 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 failure. Until he finally made it. And everybody told him to give up. And everybody said, can't be the will of God or it'd go easier than this for you. He never gave up. John Patton. Some of you have read that book. Wasn't easy. Everybody said, you're a fool. Everybody said, what a wasted life. He could do so much here at home. And there he is down there with that bunch of savages. In their opinion, it'd been better to leave the savages to go to hell. And stay where it's comfortable. and where he could help all these people here. Wasn't easy. Lost his wife, lost his little girl. Buried him beside of the house in that jungle. Tried to kill him every day he lived. They tried to kill him. He barely got away after 4 or 5 years on that island. Barely got off with just his Bible and the clothes he had on. Came home for 5 years, and then what'd he do? Went back. Went back. Somewhere, somehow, God, he heard God's voice. I mean, he knew God's voice. He knew what God wanted him to do. You reckon God really did want him to go down there and do that? I kind of think so. I kind of believe so. Now, for one of us to determine what's God's will for somebody else's life, that's kind of hard for us to do. But when it's all said and done and the evidence is all there, yeah, I believe. And I'm much more inclined to believe it when it's biblical, when it's after the pattern that's showed to us in the New Testament, like the apostles. They didn't back up because of the resistance. That was Paul's gripe with John Mark. He turned back because it was so rough. And he wasn't seasoned enough and wasn't strong enough, wasn't mature enough to take it. And he turned around and went back. Paul said, he's a weakling. Don't need him here. Because Paul didn't have no intention of turning back or backing up or giving up or quitting. He knew what God wanted him to do. Wasn't no doubt about it. I mean, everywhere he went, whether it's before a king or any or a sorcerer on the street, I mean, he had the same thing to say. This kind of peace and assurance will remain in you in spite of all the opposition. These men spent their life struggling against the fiercest opposition to what they knew in their heart was the will of God for their life. Do you ever look around at a little crowd like we got here this morning and just wonder, what are you doing here on this earth? What were you born for? Huh? To just live and work and eat and sleep and die. That's it. Buy junk, sell junk. Is that what we're here for? Is that what you're here for? Is there any purpose, any higher purpose for you in this life, in this world, in the little short span of time, the few years you're going to walk on this earth? Is that all there is for you? You think God went to all of the trouble of creating you and sustaining you and protecting you and keeping you from getting killed or dying until you're the age you are now and there is no purpose in it at all? Huh? What is your purpose? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever think about it? Do you ever consider the fact that you might be somebody like one of these people? Some people do great things. Some people don't do great things. Some people appear to not be doing great things, but after they're gone and time passes, as time passes, the little things they did turn into great things. You know, really it is. It's what you leave behind. All right, I'm winding her down here. I'm just about done. When you know that God has spoken to you and given you the direction of your life, and instructions for the present course, circumstances and opposition will not change your mind. When you get set, you get established, and you get fixed in what God wants you to do, then you don't just back up because, oh, well, that didn't work out. Must have missed God on that one. Oh, well. Next, let's look at something else. What can we do now? It's not like that. This is the way, walk ye in it. Do you hear that voice? Well, are you walking in it? Say, man, you're just making it. Now, what did I say at the beginning? Where's your open door? Where's it at? Right now. I mean, it's what is in front of you right now. That's your open door. Your opportunity to do the will of God is right there for you right now. People you work with, people you're around, the chances you get to say something for God, to do something for somebody, to be a blessing, to impart some wisdom, some help, just give them something. You'd be amazed at how much just a little work. And you got so much means. Everybody, you got all your phones and all your messaging and your texting and all of that. And why not, instead of all the foolishness and the junk, why don't you just text somebody once a week or something and just say, hey, you know, praying for you. That means a lot, I'm telling you. I messaged old David Herring this morning, and I told him, I said, just been thinking about you this week, praying for you and your family. Have a good Lord's Day. I mean, he just answered right back. Just, and it means something. Just, and it don't cost nothing. It don't cost nothing. It takes 30 seconds of your time. And you can make a difference. But instead, we're reading another meme, another meme, another meme, another meme, you know. We're not even looking for the will of God. How are we going to know it when we're not even looking? How are we going to hear His voice when we're not even listening for it? When we never say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We're never going to know. You got to quieten all the noise around you before you can hear God's voice. He don't come in a fire or an earthquake or a mighty wind. He don't come like that. What does the Bible say? What? Still small voice. Are you listening? Hey, Samuel, Samuel. He always said it twice. Did you notice that? Samuel, Samuel. Others, he did the same way. All right, let's stand. I'm glad he does that with us too. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Yeah. Don't leave out Peter. He thinks he's out. He thinks he's blown the whole deal and he's lost out completely. He don't even think he's one of us anymore. Tell him too, that I'm risen. Yeah. And I'm going to see him soon. But you know that cheered old Peter's heart. Last time you seen him, he went out and wept bitterly. Listen for God's voice. Learn to know His voice by reading your Bible. That is so true right there. I can preach a message right there. You can read. The only way you're going to know the voice of God is read the Bible. It's the Word of God. You read it and read it and study it. You're going to be able to discern God's voice. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us this morning with this truth. Please, Lord, I pray that everybody here would be serious about seeking the will of God in their life. I know some don't even have a clue. Lord, what I'm not even listening to my voice, ain't going to listen to your voice. I pray you'd work in their hearts. Not let them leave this world with a wasted life. Lord, help them to seek your will. Help us all, Lord, to daily seek to be led by your Spirit. And that's a daily, hourly thing, that is, that we could always be ready to do your bidding when you send somebody across our path, when you give us an opportunity to be a blessing in some way to somebody else. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to it and understand it, Lord. Give understanding this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.